I want us today to talk about a living faith in a mother and the faith of that mother in a child. Tim has already read to us 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we need to understand just the importance of that, and we'll be talking a lot about those verses. But I want you to look especially where Paul says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in prayers. And so there was in the mind of Paul a remembrance of his son in the faith. He evidently had taught Timothy and baptized him into the body of Jesus. And Paul says, I remember Timothy, and every time I remember you, I pray it night and day for you. Verse 5, he says, there's another thing that I remember. I remember the faith, that genuine, sincere faith that is in you, which was first in your grandmother. And that faith that was in your mother. So it's not untimely for us to talk about remembering the faith of those who have gone before. And this lesson today is timely in that respect. It's timely because this is Mother's Day, a time set aside by our nation where the focus of families is on those who are mothers. But there's an untimely aspect of this also, because not everyone is a mother. There are those individuals who have longed to be mothers, who have not yet had children. I don't know how much burning desire there is within those who are not mothers, but I know in a biblical sense, women felt unfulfilled without mothers, without being mothers. And so there's that story of Rachel, and there's that story of Hannah, and there is that implication of a host of other stories throughout the Bible of the importance of fulfilling one's life by being a mother. And yet there are those who are unable to be mothers. And a time like this is a reminder. It may call to their minds the fact that they were unable to have children. It's untimely in that respect. It's untimely because there are those who've had bad mothers. I've said a lot of times to those who are fathers that you need to be the kind of godly father so that when your child prays, Our Father which art in heaven, they'll have an appreciation of what God is like because they saw God in an earthly father. But if you don't have that in the home, to talk about the importance of motherhood, when you think of mothers, it's not necessarily a time of great joy. It's a time of regret, and it's an untimely topic in the sense that I wish I'd had that kind of mother, and that you look around at others and you think, well, I wish I had the mother that individual had. And then we also need to understand that there are those whose mothers have died. My mother died, if I've added the numbers right, 39 years ago. And yet on this day, there is an emptiness in my heart. Not as great as the emptiness there was in my heart the year after my mother died, or 5 years after my mother died. But just because of what we're hearing in our culture, there is a remembrance and a loneliness inside of my heart because of the absence of my mother. Those of you who've heard me teach class, remember some of the stories that I've told about my mom. I believe my mom gave the best answer I've ever heard when I, at a very, very young age, said to my mother, "Can I be baptized?" Now, the reality was, I was not old enough to be baptized. I didn't understand. But the way she answered that question was one of the most remarkable answers I've ever heard. She didn't tell me yes, but she didn't tell me no, and destroy my feeling of worth and self-worth. Those of you who have sat in my class may have heard me tell the story of how she answered the question, "Will my dog Topsy be in heaven? I'm just a child, and I wanted to go to heaven, but I love Topsy so much that I didn't want to go to heaven if Topsy wasn't going to be there. And so I came in and asked my mother, 'Will Topsy be in heaven?'" Now, I don't want to break the heart of anyone, but I'll tell you, she gave the perfect answer for that. And I walked out satisfied, could hardly wait to get to heaven. Great, great answer. She didn't tell a lie. Every word she said was truth, and she didn't destroy my longing to be in heaven when she answered the question, "Will my dog be in heaven?" And every one of us can think about the impact that our mothers have had on us. But because they're not here, this day may not be a day where there might be a lot of happiness. And then there is a reminder on this day of those who have lost children. When Mother's Day comes, it's a reminder of the fact that they've lost children. I remember my grandmother saying, "Dan, I have buried 2 husbands and 3 children. And it's far more painful to bury a child than it is to bury a husband." That's remarkable. And so there are those individuals, when Mother's Day come, they are unhappy because it's a reminder of the fact that that child that they had died in infancy or later in life, and there is that emptiness. And then to talk about Mother's Day, there is an untimeliness because there are children that may be wayward. Some of you are sitting here this day, perhaps wishing that your son or your daughter were sitting beside you right now. And it's Mother's Day, and you look around and you see there are those other mothers who have their children there, and there is joy within them. But there's an emptiness within your heart this day. And then there are those mothers who are unappreciated by their children. And this day is simply a reminder of the fact that their children do not treasure and do not value them on this day. And then there are those mothers who have ungodly husbands who this day have an emptiness within their heart, thankful that they're mothers, but they're struggling all by themselves because their husbands are not trying to help them mold and to shape the lives of their children. And then there are those mothers whom we describe as single moms. Those individuals who have had children out of wedlock, and while they have made it right with the Lord and asked the Lord to forgive them, and the Lord has forgiven them. Or there are those mothers who are divorced, whose husbands have left them. And this day is a reminder of the joy of being a mother, but also an emptiness within their hearts because there's no dad for those children, having a daily impact in the lives of those children. But I want you to understand something, and I want every mother to hear what I'm about to say. But I believe the greatest force on this earth is a godly mother. And I stand here today thinking about this day, and more especially about what the Bible talks about in relationship to mothers. And I am convinced that the greatest force on this earth is a godly mother. I want you to think about those who are leaders in the church. I want you to think about them and then look at their parents and see the impact that mom had on them. I want you to think about those who are elders and deacons and preachers and think about the impact that mothers have had in their lives. I want you to think about those ladies who are servants of the church in so many ways. And mirrored in their lives is the devotion that they saw in their mothers, and they grew up seeing the importance of the kingdom of God in their own lives because they saw it in their mothers' lives. And to do that, I want us to spend the rest of the time today looking at the story of one family, and that is Timothy. And I want us to spend time looking at the life and faith of Timothy. Timothy's father was not a believer. You need to keep that in mind. There's not any reference at all to Timothy's father in a godly way. And there's not any reference at all while his mother is mentioned and the impact of her life on him, the impact of his father is not mentioned at all. And the same is true of his grandfather. There's great emphasis in 2 Timothy chapter 1 placed on his grandmother. But the Bible is as silent as it can be about Timothy's grandfather. Because you see, as you think about the life and the faith of Timothy, what you see is faith that is found first in Eunice, the grandmother. Pardon me, in Lois, the grandmother. Got them wrong in the wrong order on the slide. First in Lois, then in Eunice, and then in Timothy. There are a lot of things the Bible does not answer, and a lot of stories that sometimes we wish were in the Bible that are not found in the Bible. You see, here is Eunice, or here is Lois raising her daughter. And every Jewish young lady understood that she had to be the kind of person that would not marry a Gentile, but would marry a Jew. She's Jewish. And yet there is that day and there is that time whenever Eunice comes to Lois and says in some fashion, however that marriage was arranged, there is that time and place where there is that marriage of this precious daughter named Eunice. Can you imagine the joy that Lois must have had in Eunice if she's filled with faith and now all of a sudden in some way circumstances develop where there is Eunice who marries and makes a wrong kind of marriage. And there is a mother who someday will be a grandmother whose heart is grieved because their child has married somebody that's going to complicate their lives. Well, that's the end of godliness, isn't it? That's the end of righteousness on this earth. Because you see, here is that faith that Eunice has, but that faith is not found in that daughter. Look how she's messed her life up. Look who she married. And in this day and age, we don't control who our kids marry, do we? In biblical times, there were arranged marriages. And young people, I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know how you'd feel about your mom and your dad picking out the person that you ought to marry. It probably would not coincide with what you had in mind. But here is that situation in our day where children have the freedom to make wrong choices. And you transpose that all the way back to that time where Eunice made a wrong choice in some fashion. However that came about, a wrong choice was made. Listen to me. The greatest force on earth is the power of a godly mother. That faith, Paul describes as being in Timothy. He said, wait a minute, you know where that faith starts? That faith starts all the way back with your grandmother Lois. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, I call to remembrance the sincere, genuine faith that is in you, which first was in your grandmother. The greatest force on earth is the force of a godly mother. And here's a decision made in some fashion by a daughter that is not in keeping with what God says, but that does not mean that that force is not there. And you are a mirror in whether you had a good mom or a bad mom, a godly mom or an ungodly mom, one who was fervently serving the Lord or one who was not serving the Lord, you are in some respect a mirror of that mom. Maybe and probably more so than the mirror that you are of that father that was in your life. The greatest force on earth sits in this auditorium today, and that is the force of godly mothers. And here's the proof of it. That faith that was in Lois doesn't stop there. That faith is passed down to a daughter named Eunice. And that faith that passes down to Eunice passes down to Timothy. How much every parent needs to understand and appreciate that children are described, Psalms 127, like arrows in the bow of a mighty hunter. And as that hunter takes that arrow and points the arrow in the direction in which it should go, and that arrow is released and goes toward that target, is God's way of describing what Eunice did to Timothy and what Lois did to Eunice. Here is that faith that is in that grandmother, and that faith that's in that grandmother, in spite of all of the prevailing winds that could cause that arrow to go in other direction, that faith is so strong that that faith abides in that second generation and then in that third generation. What we need to do is to analyze how they did it. What is the key? How did Lois place that faith in Eunice? And how did Eunice place that faith in Timothy? Jerry, I stand here and I think about your mother, Adabel. And while you don't know the direction of this lesson, where we're going to go with the next 3 points we make about how do you do this, I'll guarantee you that you sit here this day and you're an elder in the church and a diligent worker in the church because your mom understood these 3 points we're about to make. And so this is important to every one of us who are here today. In the first place, we need to understand that Lois placed in Eunice evidently, and Eunice for sure placed in Timothy, a respect for the Bible and knowledge of the Word. How do you deal with this generational thing? How do you deal with the fact that there are all of these prevailing winds that are going to impact the arrows that are in our hands? How do you deal with that? Godly mothers need to have an appreciation that the greatest force on this earth is the force of a godly mother, and Eunice did it because she built within Timothy a respect for the Bible and a knowledge of the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the same book. Paul says, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Well, where on earth did you learn them? Well, obviously from Paul. Paul had taught him about Jesus and had brought him into the church. Don't jump too quickly to that conclusion. These things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures. Would it amaze you if I point out that Paul says something when he uses this word childhood in relationship to what Eunice placed in Timothy that ought to amaze every one of us? The word childhood here is from the same Greek word used to describe the baby that was in the manger. That's amazing. When Timothy is so young, as young, well, how young? Well, like when Jesus was the baby in the manger, the same word. That from that point in your life, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Someone went to a mature Christian psychologist who had been trained in the matter of rearing children and said, "Now, at what age should I begin teaching my children about the Bible?" And the Christian psychologist says, "Well, how old is your child?" And she said, "Well, he'll be 6 on his next birthday." And the psychologist looked at that mother and said, "You've wasted the 6 most important years in the life of your children." I wonder what life would have been like in Timothy's house. I wonder how on earth Eunice dealt with the fact that here is a pagan father who will not even let his son be circumcised according to the Jewish biblical teaching. And so here's this mother living with this husband who's an ungodly husband, and yet he grows up from infancy. I have no idea when and how and how many hours were involved in the molding and the shaping of the life of that child, and I have no idea how Eunice must have struggled because of the lack of support from that ungodly husband who had no interest in spiritual matters, but some way, somehow, it happened. That's amazing. You see, it's wonderful to sing "Rockabye Baby in the Treetop," whatever that song is all about. But you know, it'd be real good if a child grows up hearing his mama sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's good to know about Jack and Jill going up the hill. And it's good to know about all of these secular things that are there. But how much better it is for that mother, whenever she has taught Timothy or taught that child matters that are interesting and fables of whatever natures there were, then to be able to say to Timothy, "But let me tell you something that really, really happened. Let me tell you when God made the world. Let me tell you about the faith of Joseph. Let me tell you about the faith of David. Let me tell you about the boy David. Let me tell you about the faith of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And the children grow up from infancy, and they're heroes. Are not some superhero found in a television program or some group of individuals who are of renown in a world that's characterized by fantasy, but they grow up in a world where their heroes are the heroes that their moms had and that their grandmothers had and their fathers had and their grandfathers had. Their heroes are the godly men. And look at the Scripture. From infancy, you've known these matters. When Paul wrote about Melchizedek, when Paul wrote about these biblical matters, when Paul preached and Timothy heard these matters, it was not the first time. From infancy, He had known the Scriptures. That greatest force on this earth, the force of a godly mother, is a force on this earth because a godly mother places in the heart of their children the knowledge of the reality of matters. But you see, there's more than that. There's more involved in knowledge, and that is the genuineness of faith. It's not just trying facts that one is trying to give to their children. Children need to grow up, and Timothy grew up seeing the genuineness of faith. It's called genuine faith, sincere faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. That from infancy you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. But look in chapter 1, verse 5, when he says, I saw you, when I called to mind the genuine faith that is in you, that was first in your grandmother and then in your mother. You need to understand that James says, show me your faith by the way you live, or without the showing it in the way that you live, and I will manifest to you my faith by my works, by the way I live it. Jerry Hopkins, I didn't know you as a boy, but I'll guarantee you one question you never had to ask Doc and Ada Bell. Are we going to go to church tonight? Never had to ask that. And you sit where you sit, and I stand where I stand. Because those questions never had to be asked. I remember my grandmother telling me how to preach her funeral. And she says, Dan, here's what I want you to say to my children. The church, that's all that matters. Lois, what matters on this earth? Eunice, what matters on this earth? And look at how God impacted the life of Lois and God impacted the life of Eunice. And you'll see it mirrored right there in Timothy. Because they understood what really, really mattered. The greatest force on earth is the force of a godly mother. Now let me hasten to point out that the reason my grandmother wanted me to say these things at her funeral is because she had children who had fallen away, like some of you. And she wanted one final reminder for that to be given. And I'm thankful that I said it at the funeral, but I'm far more thankful to be able to say that all of those children died as faithful Christians, even though she was no longer there in body. This genuine faith, this knowledge of the Lord, how's it manifested? Well, look in Timothy, and you'll see that this faith is manifested because Timothy grew up being a disciple. Look in Acts chapter 16. When Paul comes to Derbe and to Lystra, there's a certain disciple there. Parents, you need to understand the impact that Eunice had on Timothy because she taught him to be a disciple. You know what a disciple is? It's somebody who is disciplined, schooled in righteous living and in the knowledge of that which is right. Where does a Timothy come from? He comes from the greatest force on this earth, and that is a godly mother. And he grew up being schooled in righteousness. It wasn't just a matter of causing him to know about Bible facts and things of that nature. He was disciplined in his life. He lived it in his life because that's the way children of Lois, and that's the way children of Eunice, and that's the way people who have been reared that way live. Greatest impact on this earth is a godly mother who looks at that child and says, they're like arrows. They're like that soft modeling clay that can be shaped and molded in those early years so that when later years come, their lives have been molded and shaped. Eunice placed within Timothy a respect for having a good reputation, or at least that's what Timothy had. Look again at that same chapter. Verse 2 says, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Teenagers, you need to hear this. He did not grow up with a reputation that characterized many people today. Rebelliousness, lack of appreciation for that which is sacred, lack of respect for that which is holy. From infancy, Timothy was taught these matters, and he grew up and he had a good reputation. Notice especially that it's not the reputation that he has out in the world, where the world may have the wrong values and may say, when I look at that person and look at what he is, look at the fact he's an athlete, look at the fact that he's a student, look at the fact that he's all of these things. This young man grows up because he understands the most important thing in his life is not that which is secular. The reputation comes from spiritually minded brethren. I would to God that parents were as interested in molding the lives of their children as they are of getting them involved in organized sports. I would to God that there were parents who were as interested in people knowing the Word of God as they are in them knowing their secular education. Make sure that you get a good grade so you can get a scholarship so you'll be able to go to college and it won't cost me any money. Wonderful words to be said, but far more wonderful the words that would say, make sure that you grow up knowing the Word of God, that you might inherit not a scholarship to some university, but a scholarship to heaven. If Lois lived in Palm Beach County, she'd be trying to build within the hearts of those of Timothy the importance of understanding what his reputation is. Young people, it does matter what people say about you. Especially what godly Christian people say about you. And that's why Paul would say to Timothy, you be an example to the believers. One translation says, you be an example of the believers, and both points are well taken. As a youth, let no man despise thy youth, but you be thou an example of what a believer is, and you be an example of what a believer is to the believers. And thank God for the spirituality of those who are young in this church. And may God help you ever to be mindful of having a good reputation. And then finally, Timothy's faith was manifested because She'd taught him to be a servant. In this day and age where we live with self-centeredness and children are spoiled, having their own way, whenever Timothy has the chance to serve the Lord, he immediately goes with Paul. And verse 4 of that same chapter says, "And they went throughout the cities, and they delivered." And the results of them going, of Timothy going, and of Timothy being involved in the delivering of the Word of God, the churches were strengthened by that. Eunice's dream for her child is realized. And so we make the last point. We've looked at the life of Timothy from Eunice to Lois to Timothy, or Lois to Eunice to Timothy. We've talked about the respect and the knowledge of the Scriptures and the knowledge of the Scripture versus genuine faith, how that genuine faith was created and manifested in those three areas in Timothy's life. But we close with a word of God, word from God about this topic. Honor. Honor your mom. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. But it's more than obey. It's honor. It's honor. There's a world of difference. When mom says, "Go clean your room," and you go and slam the door and clean the room, there's not a lot of honor that's shown there. There's obedience, but not much honor. Honoring your parents means you give to them the respect that is due them. This is the first commandment with promise. And the promise to Israel was, you'll be able to dwell long in the land that I'm going to give to you. You want to make America stand? You want America to be a nation that stands and we dwell long in this land? Look at the negative of this. Dishonor mom and dad and you will not dwell long in this land. And when America falls, one of the major contributing factors will be the disrespect shown to moms and dads. Because the attitude that you have towards your parents will be manifested in the attitude you have toward teachers and toward law enforcement and toward the government, but most especially toward God. The greatest force in the world is the impact of a godly mother. And I want to, on behalf of all of the rest of us in this auditorium, to say to every mother that's here today, thank you for all of the effort and energy that you've devoted to molding and shaping the life of your children. Thank you for not getting discouraged and for not giving up. And thank you for putting within the hearts of your children the real values. My grandmother died with unfaithful children. On the other side, because evidently the dead do not know what's happening on this earth, so Ecclesiastes seemed to indicate. But be that as it may, can you imagine when her sons died, who when she left this earth were away from God. Can you imagine? She's on the other side. And there that child comes who's now faithful. And another child. And another child. And there's that unbelievable reunion on the other side. That's why you ought to go to heaven. That's exactly why you ought to go to heaven. But you can't go to heaven if the church is not in your life. That's not my ideas. The Bible says He's going to save the church. And sometimes people say, well, how do I become a member of the church? It's as simple as reading the Bible. It's believing that Jesus is the Son of God and repenting of your sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, except you repent, you'll perish. It's as simple as confessing your faith that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and then being immersed in water that your sins might be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And when that happens, He adds you to His family. And it makes no difference what kind of mom or dad you might have had. You've got the ultimate father, the ultimate parent in heaven. And then He says, now you just be faithful, and I'll give you the crown of life. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now, as together we stand and sing. Will you come?